from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
And we're gonna bring it back to what we got going on here with the Sacramento Kings. And we mentioned, the team as is and what they've got going on and how we feel about them. I said the floor is 52 games. I could see 50. You know, I'll play it safe and say 50 or whatever the case may be. But as is, I think that's where they're at, right? I could see a situation where they're somewhat better than that. Botone, what if they add somebody? What if they add a Cam Johnson? What if they add a Dorian Finney-Smith? What if they pull off the Kyle Kuzma trade? What do you think, number one, that they can make another move? Number two, what would you want that move to be if you had your choice?
They would be in a great position if they could make another move. And I do like Cam Johnson, okay? I don't know if Brandon, you know, is still in the discussions. Or Lori or whoever like that, but these just some of the guys that I think that can make an impact here. I know there's been discussion about Isaiah Stewart, you know, from Detroit. Big body, wind protector, physical, you know, strong as an ox and stuff like that. I think if they could get any one of these guys, okay, those practices with the Sacramento Kings will be brutal in a beautiful way if they can do this, because I don't know what Houston is going to do. I think they're going to be better. I don't know what Utah Jazz is going to do. Mm-hmm. Maybe it'll be a little bit better, okay? Mm-hmm. Memphis, because they're going to have Ja Morant back.
Yeah.
They're going to be a lot better. So, yes, the Kings probably will be looking at another piece for their personnel to at least draw it up to 50 wins
mm-hmm.
per season. Because that's right now, that's definitely where they are. You know, I want them to go a little bit higher, stuff like that. But the things that they can do, oh man, because there's still some serviceable players out there.
Yeah.
Isaiah Stewart would be a great backup, you know, for somebody like Sabonis.
So
I think they're already set in the guard situation, but they got another guard. Where they get that guy from? Minnesota, McLaughlin.
Yeah, Jordan McLaughlin. Yeah,
yeah, he's nice.
Yeah,
he's nice. Pretty much I'm not calling him a soft core two-way player, but he can play defense.
Mm-hmm.
He's definitely going to, you know, add to this team. I would think that they brought him in knowing what the situation was with Devin Carter.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. They know they're not going to have him for a while, so they definitely need a third guard, someone, you know, like McLaughlin to come in and fill up that space. But across the board, they got to make another move, but it would be nice if they do make another move and get any of those players that you had mentioned, you know, to make sure that they're in this position. Because now that they got DeMar, you know, if they lose a player now, you know, if you lose a Sabonis, you lose a Fox, you lose a lot.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we already saw that if you lose Monk, you lose Herder, you lose them. Losing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So if they lose one of these players, you know, to an injury, heaven forbid that that happened, it won't be too much of a drop. Mm-hmm. You still have a squad that can compete in the association. So if they pick someone else up, you know, and add them to the pot, wow, a quality player too. They still got some part of their mid-level exception that they can use, and then they can, you know, try to work out another trade. The Kings are definitely in another great spot situation where they can pick up another player, Kenny.
Yeah, and I look at the addition of a Cam Johnson, or if they were to get Kuz, and I was talking to Jesse about this yesterday. I feel like I feel like I'm personally ready for the Kentucky connection to take flight. I'm ready for a Fox Monk backcourt. You got DeMar at the three or whatever the case may be. But if you were to bring in a Kyle Kuzma, and maybe even if you were to bring in a Cam Johnson, he's kind of borderline whether or not he would start or not. But I would think if you brought in one of those guys that you would be bringing Malik off the bench again. And he said a number of different times, you talked to him with everybody else I think it was Friday or Saturday, where he said, you know, yes, I want to start, but it wasn't part of the negotiations or anything else like that. I'll do whatever's best for the team, and I believe him. But do you think, like, that's the way they should go? Do you think they should find more talent so Malik can continue to come off the bench, or do you think he should be the starting two guard at this point?
Yeah, because, you know, say if they do get somebody like, you know, Kuzma, Brandon Ingram, or whoever. But I like those qualities too, especially with Cam Johnson in there, because Cam Johnson can't start. He can't start on this team. Mm. That would give him like a starting back five compared to the starting five that you have on the floor. And Malik could be leading those efforts and stuff. That would be a nice situation for him, okay? And I know that, you know, that went into his mind, you know, when he was contemplating, you know, what he should do, you know, during free agency, because he could have made a lot more money, but he wants to stay at home. This is home now. Mm-hmm. This is home. But now he could be more of a presence, an integral part of that second unit, and especially, oh man, if they get Kuz, oh my gosh, they get Cam, okay, or is Brandon Ingram still in the talk? That's just going to up the ante of what this team could do, and that would definitely make whoever's coming in that second five. That'd be like the second back five right there.
Right.
That would be so lovely. Right. Good point.
Do you think a lot of people out of nowhere? I ain't never heard two words. Nobody say two words about DeMar DeRozan's defense. Now all of a sudden he gets traded to the Kings, and everybody, well, you know, he don't play defense. He's a terrible defender. He don't help them on the defense. Man, pipe down. Ain't nobody hearing all that, man. The Kings will be just fine. He getting with Mike Brown. They'll be fine. He's a professional. He's a dog. He'll figure out whatever he needs to figure. We ain't worried about that. But do you feel that if they went out and got a Kyle Kuzma or Lauri Markkanen or somebody like that who isn't defensive minded, do you think that would be an issue? Would they have too many offensive guys? Would they have neglected the defense a little too much? I don't believe so, but what do you think about that?
See, after what happened, you know, last season with Mike and his coaching staff, you know, getting that defense on the rails, it took a while. Mm-hmm. I knew that was going to happen because these things don't happen overnight. Mm-hmm. And I was seeing how these other players was buying in, especially Keegan Murray, you know, and the things that he was doing. So any of those players that you're talking about, I think they would fit this system. Because Mike Brown, that's one of the first discussions that I'm going to have. Oh, I would love for you to come in here and score 20, 22 points, 25 points a game. Mm-hmm. All right? But we're going to need you to play some defense. You probably have to give up a little bit more effort than you did. Mm-hmm. But this system provides for that because it's a team concept. Defense, as I mentioned earlier, the segment, they can do it. They can pull it out of them. Mm-hmm. All right. Look, all these cats came from somewhere. Okay. You was a big fish in a pond somewhere else, wherever you came. Right. All right. Somebody had to tell you you had to play defense a little better than you have been. Okay. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's some little leeway of whatever system that they've been playing in the NBA. But I do believe you understand, okay, one or a million that made it to the NBA that you can play just a little bit defense. And I'm not talking about individually. Understand the concepts, okay? Because you look at those defensive formations that the Kings had put in play last season, okay? They were getting deflection. They were getting steals, okay? The closeout on the three got to get a little bit better. We do know that, okay? The physicality, all of that, that's Mike Brown teaching team concept defense. So Laurie, Cam Johnson, Kuzma, all that, I do think that they will buy into it, and I do think they'll put a little bit more effort because, hey, he had to, you know, get his point across to Kevin Herter. Kevin Herter, you know, when his shot wasn't falling, he rebounded. He's getting assists, okay? He's making better passes, you know, on the offensive end. Those things will happen. They're all professionals. You just said that. I do believe that they can come in and even with their skill set, okay, if there are little deficiencies somewhere in the defense, I do think somebody like Mike Brown and his coaching staff, okay, definitely, you know, a Doug Christie type coach, they're going to get it out of them. They're going to get it out of
them.
Keegan Murray might be on the all-defensive team along with De'Aaron Fox if they do what they're supposed to do this next season. I was thinking about that in the last season anyway. So, yeah, bring all of them in there. If they have any deficiencies with their defense, I do think they're in good hands with this coaching staff. Mike Brown's going to make it happen.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you. And when you talk about Keegan and De'Aaron Fox, I thought De'Aaron Fox had a really good chance to be on an all-defense team this past season. I don't really have a problem with the people who were on the team. Those are all really good defenders and worthy as well. So, you know, there were 10 really good defenders or whatever the case may be. I get that. But I thought De'Aaron had a chance for that all-defensive team this past season. Tone, I wanted to talk some. You got a little time because, you know, I want to talk a little bit with you.
Well, I said just block you, bro. My dog.
I preach that. Jesse, we're gonna try. We're gonna go about 28 here. But I wanted to. You know, I got my guy, you know, like my guy Drew Down, you know, my guy Aldrin J. They're in the chat. Those are my guys. Those are Bay Area guys. You know what I mean? They think we always taking shots at the Warriors in the Bay Area. Look, you know, maybe we take a shot here or there, but, you know, I got love for the Bay Area. You know what I'm saying? I love Oakland. I love San Francisco. It's all good. You know what I mean? But sometimes you got to call a spade a spade. You got to call a spade a spade. All right? Are they going to keep this whole facade of having the California Classic in the Bay Area moving forward? Because you were there for day one of the California Classic in San Francisco. Am I correct? And were you there for – you were there, yeah, because the Kings
– I was there the second day. I was Saturday night. I was at the California Classic G1C, and then I rolled down – to Chase Center, thinking I was going to see Bronny James because I was on assignment for Associated Press, and that didn't happen. But yeah,
what was the scene, man? What was it? Because look, I don't want to diss nobody, but it didn't look like the same type of atmosphere in the Bay Area that it is when it's here at the Golden One Center. But I wasn't there, that's why I want to ask you what you think about.
Honest, you know, from my opinion, I was a little crushed when I went down there Sunday. I mean, they had a lot of people down there, and I think they had them there because they wanted to see Bronny James. But I'm looking at this, and I'm comparing it to the night before the Golden One Center. Of course, they had DeMar DeRozan there, and everything was off the hook. You would have thought it was 18,000, 19,000 people in Golden One Center, but I think they just, you know, filled up the lower bowl, okay? That was a lot, okay? The situation that's going on, I don't think I was too much – in favor of that situation with, you know, they're doing a California Classic there at the same time that the Kings are doing here, because I just think, and it's just my opinion, that it just has a little bit more flair because this is, you know, it's a one-sport town from now. It will be a two-sport town. That the basketball town here, you know, just a little bit more invested on there because they will come out and see. They had great, you know, ticket prices, packages, and things like that. But I have to give the edge to Sacramento Kings California Classic. Now, I don't know what they're going to do going forward. I know they play tonight. I was going to go down there tonight. you know, and watch that contest. I chose not to because I have some other work to do on later this evening, going in tomorrow. Mm. But if I could just deal with the Golden One Center California Classic, I would. Because the only reason why, you know, like I said, I was on assignment when I went there, you know, for the California Classic, I just prefer for just flat out to stay here and just call it a day. Now, if they were going to switch it off every year, okay, but have it at the same time, I mean.
Yeah, I don't know.
Just another thing, too. There's a lot of Sacramento Kings fans at the Chase Center. On Sunday yeah. afternoon, because the games started Sunday afternoon. Of course, you know, they had lost that game. They lost to the Heat or something like that.
Yeah.
Khalil, we'll talk about him later, though. Okay. But yeah, I'm a Sacramento, California Classic man. I'm just stick with that. I don't know what they're going to do. We can ask those questions later on or afterwards, you know, when we're able to. But the California Classic here, that's the ticket. That's on the marquee. Yeah, that's box office.
And look, and to be perfectly fair to the process, from my understanding, you know, the California Classic was supposed to rotate, you know what I mean, between Sacramento, the Bay Area, and L.A. And the Clippers still aren't involved for whatever reason. So if you want to move it around, I'd hate that because I think it's best here in Sacramento. But that was from what I can – somebody could tell me if I'm wrong, but – from the original consumption or the incarnation of the California Classic, it was supposed to be moving around from summer to summer. So I get that, but I'm like you. I don't like it going on at the same time. And we've had enough years at this point where clearly it's a better product. It's the attendance is more when it's in Sacramento. Maybe it's because Sacramento, you know, people like basketball. Maybe there's not as much, there's not a Giants game down the street or anything like that. So maybe that has something to do with it. But I wish it would stay here. I think that's a great kickoff to the summer league season. Obviously, you got Utah as well. But for those teams gearing up to go to Vegas, I think starting in Sacramento would be. It would be idea. That's how they should do it moving forward.
Ideally, and you said it too, it's the product. Right now, I think, you know, the Sacramento version of the California Classic, the original, you know, has a better product right now. Of course, they haven't did it in Southern California for us to understand what's going on there. But, yeah, to do it here, do it at the same time. I know Saturday, Hunter Patterson for the Athletic.
Shout out, Hunter.
Shout out to Hunter. He attended the San Francisco one, and he after the Bronny thing, you know, he turned it around and he made it to the second game of the Sacramento Kings when the Kings played the Chinese National. So he made it, you know, back to Sacramento. I thought I was going to do that the next day.
Yeah,
man, I got back to Sacramento. I said, forget that. I just probably only going to be like. Quarter left, I'm going home and stuff. So I just didn't like that. So I'm here, I am trying to, you know, do things, and they're like 2 hours, 90 minutes away, and it can't be done. Hunter made that possible, but it was just frustrated me a little bit. But
yeah,
they just hold it right here in Sacramento the way it's supposed to do. Okay, I know they took away the Heat. See, there was Golden State Warriors. Then the Kings had a I don't want to call them the B squad up there.
Man, because, that's the worst.
Why they were really well with them those first two games up in there. But hey, as far as the product wise, OKC, California Classic, Sacramento, Golden One Center.
Yeah, now that was the worst too. And I'm not blaming anybody for this. I'm just saying it was terrible. You know, having the two team situation for the Kings. Because I know yesterday, none of the – and no disrespect to the guys that played, but none of the guys that we hope to see, like a Boogie Ellis or a Mason Jones or I don't even know if Adonis Arms played in Sacramento. They're all playing today, I think it's today, in the Bay Area. And
yes, like,
just having two teams is just – I'm not feeling that. So I don't know what the Kings got to do next year, but don't do the two teams thing again.
See, the reason why I was trying to get back down there to see those guys, you know, the Sacramento Kings on that second night, that Sunday night, okay, and one of them, you know, he was getting on, Boogie Ellis from USC.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I missed out on the opportunity to see that, you know, in person. I did see the highlights of the game, you know, the next day. Oh, no, that night when I got home, but just the highlights. That just took away a lot of that was going on because I do understand, you know, when Boogie Ellis was undrafted and Bronny was drafted at number 5, Boogie had better numbers at USC, 16 points a game, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. You know, he seemed like he was going to be a dynamite player. Those were, you know, one of the, you know, the drawbacks of having this thing at the same time, you know. Sacramento, California Classic, Golden Ones.
I agree 100%. I want to talk about the main club a little bit before we get out of here. Are you, with the DeMar DeRozan acquisition, are you concerned about what it may do for the development of Keegan Murray? Will it take shots away from him? Are you worried about him not being as aggressive? And that's before we talk about if they add somebody else. I'll start with Keegan Murray. Do you think, are you worried about that kind of stunting his growth a little bit?
Man, you'd be coming up with some great talking points here. I don't think DeMar, I don't think Keegan, let me start here. Cameron Salerno, who writes for CBS now, he was up here this weekend too. I remember when he was doing a story for Associated Press back in December 22 when the Kings played the Bulls. And after the game, you know, I like to go to both locker rooms because that's reporting. Okay. And I was videotaping it, but DeMar, that is, when we were interviewing him, and Cameron asked him a question about Keegan Murray. Mm. And DeMar DeRozan's eyes lit up like a Christmas tree. Oh, he's going to be nice. He can shoot. He can do this. He can do that. You know, I would like to play with a player like Keegan Murray.
Mm-hmm.
Reason why I say that, you know, I'm going here with you.
Yeah.
DeMar DeRozan was instrumental in Io Sumu's development with the Chicago Bulls. You know, Io used to play for the University of Illinois.
Yep, yep.
Okay. I'm watching the game. This is DeMar DeRozan's first game, first season in Chicago. They didn't have been a half season. This is probably like December 2022, 2021. All right.
Mm-hmm.
He drives down to Champaign-Urbana from Chicago. He drives, and it was snowing that day. He drives down from Chicago to Champaign-Urbana to see Io witness his jersey being hung in the rafters.
Yeah.
And I knew right then he was going to take that young man under his wing. Okay. And DeMar has improved every year for the Bulls. You see, they didn't move off on him.
No.
Okay.
He's a good ball player. He can play.
They still got Kobe White. They're not letting them two go. Okay. I think Keegan is going to be in great hands with DeMar, and I don't think that's going to affect him at all. Now, the Kings bring in any other player to add to their personnel? I don't know. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I do know Keegan, he's playing for USA Team Select. He's going to be coming back with something new. Mm-hmm. You know, getting this type of experience. Cooper Flagg is getting off.
Oh, man. Come on now. Jeez. I knew he could go. But, man, he's taking it to another level right now.
He's taking it to another level. Keegan is going to be okay as far as his development. I don't think he's going to, you know, add any flaws or anything that or setbacks. I think he's going to be in great hands with a veteran like DeMar, because DeMar wants to play with these young guys. He did say that. He did talk about a little bit about that, you know, during the news conference yesterday too. I think that's something that he's looking forward to, is working with a shooter like that. Not only that, he's working with a two-way player in Keegan Murray too. So that part is going to be okay. If they add another piece,
mm-hmm.
if that's going to affect, you know, You know how my ground is. Hey, if you ain't producing, I gotta go somewhere else. Yeah. Yeah. Keegan understand that. Okay. Yeah. If you're not doing, you know there was a few times when Keegan wasn't doing nothing, he went to Kessler Evans. Okay. I'm not playing around. So that would only upgrade his position as far as development. You know what you gotta do? You gotta be highly competitive and be a part of what we're doing. And if somebody has some veteran leadership like DeMar DeRozan, you need to listen to him.
Yeah, straight up, man. So, man, let the people know what you got going on right now, man. You're a busy guy. The Twitter is popping off. If you're not following them right now, where can they follow you? You know what I mean? Tell the people what you got going on, man.
Well, you can always follow me on Twitter, okay? At Tony Ray Harvey, Publicity Agents, okay? And I'm trying to upgrade my web page on that, so we're going to be coming out with some more stories. And that could be at www.publicityagents.org. We're about to pick it up, though, Casey, because I've been talking to Nisha Britton. We're going to try to, combine and start doing some commentary, but not just on sports, pop culture, sports, politics. She likes to talk politics, too. We're going in all those type of areas. Also, I work for California Black Media, so I'm covering a lot of state capital stuff, which I really do love. I mean, because it's basically statewide stuff and national stuff. I was working at the other newspaper. Things were mainly, local stuff. Mm-hmm. Trying to finish up my second true crime book, American Vamp, which I've been working on for years, but there were some things going on that we could talk about in the future. And I'll address that matter, but I'm still trying to knock that book out. I still have one out on the bookshelf right now myself, Homicidal Handyman of Oak Park, which came out in 2012. It's still selling moderately, not like it did when it first came out, but it's been out for 12 years.
Yeah.
And I'm appreciating the people still interested in buying it. I remember Ann Rule, one of the famous true crime writer. She passed away a few years ago. We was texting each other back, and she said, the thing about writing these type of books is you got to write 1, 2, 3. You have to keep that flow going on. So I will have like a few more books, going that way. And in the bottom line, hey, about 40-45% of my work in journalism is Sacramento Kings, covering the NBA.
Yes, sir.
Covering the NBA as whole, and that's with Antonio Ray Harvey, Tony Harvey. That's mainly what goes on in his life. That's my lifestyle. That's what I do.
That's what's up, man. That's why you're a legend. Oh, my bad. There you go.
I'm sorry about that. I wanted to say one thing. Shout out to you, Jesse. You do great work. I like your commentary. Okay. You got a little comedian in you as well. So great work of what you do too. I love you, man. Everything that you do.
My dog Tom, man. Hey, man. You represented for the city of Sacramento today, man. You had the people buzzing right here, man. You had to let them know what time it was, and you had the people buzzing, man. So we appreciate that, and I definitely always appreciate when I get an opportunity to talk with you, man, and talk in length and have you on the show, man. It's always love.
I've been living here for almost 36 years. August of next month, 36 years, okay? That's for a reason, okay? I love living here. I graduated from Sac State. I was going to another university, Southern Illinois University in Carbondale before I came out here. Came out here for a visit. Okay, thought I was going to be in the Bay Area. And, my family's like, hey, come to Sacramento. That was it. Home. And I've been here ever since. Ever since. There's been some ups, there's been some downs, but I adapted, I acclimated, to this environment, to this region. And I will always defend Sacramento. I don't want to hear that crap. But anyway, though, thank you. Thank you for your time, Casey. Okay, we went at a little bit longer than we normally do. Set a lot of time out for you anyway, but everything worked out. And keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you, dog. Thank you. I appreciate you, man. Antonio Harvey, go check him out. Publicity Agents, man. You already know the vibes, man. We're going to come right back. More Kings talk when I come back, man. It's D-Lo and KC. It's ESPN 1320, Sacramento's number one sports station.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Back here, D'Lo and KC, ESPN 1320. On this Wednesday afternoon. I don't know if it's hot or not. I'm just chilling.
I got a hoodie on. I feel fine.
Yeah, it feels great. It feels great. They got poor Jonathan and Seth building another set like we're on Warner Brothers. When I don't want to waste any material because I want everybody to be here. But when Damien gets back, boy, we might have a whole segment breaking down field day. That was boy.
Yeah, we haven't talked about field day once as we kind of talked to Kyle about on Monday because it was the producer. Like, hey, so what do you want? Like, what, we talking field day? Like, I don't know if DeMar DeRozan got signed, but no, nah, you guys, yeah, hey, man, field day was crazy.
We're going to wait for David to get here, man. Field day, that was an experience right there. Shout out to Odyssey, man, always doing what they do. Hey, real quick, I got air horns to give away. And that is for San Francisco Giants all-star Rockland native Logan Webb. We still claim him a Sacramento man. He's got selected to the all-star team. And man, air horns for this guy, Julio Ramos, first time all-star for the San Francisco Giants. A great first half that he had, and you know, he really made it. You know, he really made the all-star team because they had the Giants, who are a middling team. They're not bad. They're not good or anything like that. But with Logan Webb, they had their one all-star selection. They didn't have to put Julio Ramos on there. But, man, he has been such a bright spot in his first half of the season. Homered again yesterday in the Giants win against the Blue Jays. And a deserved all-star. This is one of those guys, Jesse, you know how it is with baseball. This is one of those guys that we've been hearing about for like 7 years.
Yeah.
You know, he was like 16 or something in the Giants organization. And they were like, yo, we're not trading anybody for Helio Ramos. And then he gets to the big leagues, I think a year or two ago. He's just like, it's whatever. It's like, it's whatever. And it's like, yo, we waited all this time. And Ramos isn't that dude. You spent all that time telling us that he was that dude, and now he isn't that dude. And he kind of got yo-yoed in the AAA and the Sacramento and San Francisco. And I think he was up earlier this year, and he did okay. And then they sent him back down. I was like, why'd they do that? It's crazy. Got a chance to go back up, and he hasn't looked back since, man. So shout out to that man Ramos on making the All-Star team. And I want to say this was the first, once again, here, chalk it up, play the sound, should have bookmarked it when I saw it, but I think this is the first homegrown outfielder for the Giants to make the All-Star team since Chili Davis.
Wow. I think I read that. Shout out Farhan. Good job, Farhan. Building up the farm system.
Are we really shouting him out? Because he's the one that sent him down two other times.
He clearly knows what works. No, I'm just kidding.
I'll give him some respect. He never traded him. He never traded him. He inherited him. But he never traded him. And this goes on his permanent record. Ramos is part of the Farhan regime. So he gets that. He's still down 24-7.
He's not Giants, right?
And he's not Giants. He's definitely not Giants. I've seen enough from Farhan. We don't need anything to do with him anymore. But hell, he got a contract extension. He's not going anywhere. But
yeah, Chad House not too fond of Farhan.
Well, you know, look, he looked at the situation and he said, you know, I look at Ramos, I look at Elliot Ramos, and I say that this guy, when you see his Verzurg. Gets into the Vazorp, and the Vazorp measuring out the Vazurg, and boom, there it is. That's when you have a guy that can be an all-star. That's what I saw too many years before he became an all-star. I saw this from him, and his Vazorg was something that I knew would turn into an all-star player.
You're not far off, too, is the thing with that little impression.
Oh, man, that dude Farhan, man. I was saying, look. Damien's not here.
Yeah, just do like maybe I go Bret Hart the rest of the show. You can do your impressions.
Well, look, I want to congratulate Elliot Ramos on being a Major League Baseball All-Star because the guy, he's really put in a lot of work and, you know, he just wants to see the Cowboys win a championship so bad. Like I do, it's just something that gets me emotional, and I wanted to see him be an all-star so bad, and I'm glad that we've been able to see that. And Dak, I don't know if you're getting another contract, even though we locked arms on the 50-yard line when I went to a knee.
Your thoughts, Shaq?
Elliot Ramos is a guy that now has G14. Classification because I knew it, you know. I was definitely hard on him, and I would say, you know, look, I expect more out of you. I expect more of you, big man. That's how a big man has to play. And he finally listened to me. And now you see, after listening to me, he is an all-star in this league.
Yeah, but Shaq.
No, Jesse, no, you don't understand. No, don't do that, Jesse. You don't understand. I'm telling you, he's an all-star. You don't understand.
Damn, just hopped off in his private jet right now. He's on his way back as we speak.
Yeah, man. But I wanted to give a shout out to those Giants, man. All star game. Are you a big like MLB All Star Game guy? You watch it?
I used to be. Now it's just kind of.
It's still pretty cool.
It's cool. I think it's still pretty cool. I like it better than the It's the best out of the other All Star games. I think I'll watch it over the Pro Bowl. I'll watch it over the NBA. All-star game. So I think it's the best one so out of all of them.
Yeah, I like it.
Want to get to Ramsey and TC?
Oh, yeah, my bad. I didn't even see the Brody's on there, man. Yeah, let's get to these phone lines, man. 916-909-1320. Let's go with Ramsey first, man. Ramsey, what's going on, big dog?
I'm good. Seeing the Damian's be on, can we get a live 13th round on air for a minute?
Yeah, he's really coming back now.
Now we're breaking all the rules. We're breaking all the rules. Let's break them.
I know you've been gone for a minute, and I know you were gone last weekend.
Yeah.
I need your opinion on that clown Ryan Garcia.
Ryan Garcia, cook, man. This guy, I mean, it goes without saying, you know, we all know the guy, I don't know what's going on with him, but he needs to stay far away from the limelight. He needs to stay far away from boxing. The WBC suspended him. I think it's indefinitely. I don't even think they put a time.
Expelled him.
So to even fight, be eligible for one of those belts, the WBC belts, he'd have to, like, reapply and do all this other stuff. You think we've seen the last of Ryan Garcia?
I hope so. I'm out on him.
I definitely hope so, too. And, you know, I've been a supporter of Ryan for a while, but the last, I mean, between the cheating and then all the racist comments or whatever.
Dude needs help, but there's not, like, I'm not going to give you a pass for that.
There's no
pass for that.
I agree with you. I think we have seen the last of Ryan Garcia. It's boxing, so I could see down the road him getting, you know, a redemption tour or something.
He'll
like
be
that.
Back, but I don't think he should be. I'm out on Ryan Garcia. Ryan Garcia, I'm out.
I ain't got nothing positive to say about Ryan Garcia. He can go for sure. Did you see, before we get to TC, did you see Cam and Mace talking about
the 7-minute clip, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. I don't even watch clips for that long, but they cooked him.
No.
They cooked him.
And I was locked in all 7 minutes.
Yes. If I'm Shakur, I'm just sitting there like, oh, gosh. I'm like academics, just kind of like, oh, my gosh. Like, they got him bad. And it was kind of a point where they kind of told him, like, you need to relax, pal, because, like, this isn't what you think. Like, this can get serious.
They were like, yeah, you know, I tried to rewatch the fight. I fell asleep a couple times, but I caught a couple rounds, man.
I told you, I put on the Nate Diaz undercard. Like, we were trying to watch Shakur. Like, we had people over, whatever, watching the fights. Like, this is boring, bro.
So I didn't know Nate Diaz and Jose Masvidal was a boxing match.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that.
209 stand up. We picked up another dub.
Yes, indeed. There he goes with that we. I mean.
You mean?
From Stockton. He's
209, I said. That covers it all. Don't do that.
We did say that was accurate. You can do that. I'm just saying. It's
shout out Stockton, but also called, 209 doesn't have much.
It's called the Stockton slap. It's not called the Modesto slap. It's not called the Stockton Modesto slap. I'm just saying.
All right, man.
I like Modesto JC.
Yeah, shout out the Pirates.
Yeah,
took a summer course that one
time. I almost
time.
Went there. I almost went to Modesto JC. I was balling in the open gym.
You got a fire taco truck out there?
Those are the type of cities, like the small little cities like that. Like, I remember one time I went to Taco Truck in Los Banos. You know where that is?
Yeah, it's like by Gilroy area.
Yeah. Stopped at the fire. Bomb. I would never in a million years. Only reason I stopped is we were on our way to Fresno. We were hungry. We got a little something to eat, whatever the case may be. And one of my teammates from college was from Los Banos. And I was like, oh, this is where Jimmy's from. And yeah, that's the only reason I stopped. I didn't even know it was there until
I've never stopped there before, but I'm just past them.
Yeah, well, you know, they got some gas stations. It's a long, like, sometimes you got to stop there because it's a long stretch between there and civilization on the way to Fresno. Usually when you're coming from the Bay Area, I don't do that too much when I'm coming from Sac, but when I lived in the Bay and we would go to Fresno, they had that long stretch of nothing up on those mountains on, I think it's 580, I don't even know. And then you would get into civilization. You go to the Walmart, they have 7-Eleven, all this other stuff in Los Manos. And you knew for another 45 minutes to an hour, there's not any civilization. So you have to stop in Los
Manos. I thought they called that Bakersfield, Kenny.
See, I gave a shot to Bakersfield earlier, and I apologized. I said I was joking.
Apologize
that
for
one
nothing.
Was
I apologize for nothing.
That was uncalled
for. It was.
Oh, man. But yeah, shout out to Los Banos, though. You know what I mean? And shout out to Bakersfield. I got family in Bakersfield.
Shout out Casey's family in Bakersfield. It's as far as that'll go for me.
The one time we played Cal State Bakersfield, they play at an arena, or they did during the regular season. Maybe they just play at their school now. But they played at an arena where, like, the minor league hockey team played. And I'll never forget, the only game on the schedule that wasn't in the arena was our game that year. I was pissed.
You guys played at the local middle school outside?
It felt like it. it felt like it after we weren't able to be in the arena. I wasn't happy about that, man. But
Bakersfield's got to step it up, bro, because you're not even like one of the northern cities of California. Where it's like, yeah, there's not much. Like, you're south, bro.
They got the train station. That's the connector. You get off. That's where the train ends when you're taking the train from L.A. to Sacramento and vice versa. That's where the train ends, and you have to get on the bus.
Gosh. All right. Let's talk to TC, bro. I can't take enough of Bakersfield.
TC, what's up with you, big dog?
Hey, what's up with my boy? Hey, what's up with my two brothers?
Hey.
We made it.
There we go. What up, dog?
Man, you already know what time it is. Hey, which I called in earlier, but Jesse was like, man, we have Sarah on, so I fell back. That was a good conversation, though.
Yeah, man, it was always good talking to Sarah.
Basketball, man.
Yeah, man, for sure.
She's like a sports, though.
Yeah.
But look, check it out, though. Look, hey, after looking at the boy Zach Edey, but it's too early to tell, though. But I know he got sick before us, though, man. But that dude is nice, though. I think, Casey, I think he's going to be a problem. I know you don't really like him, bro, but I think dude going to be a problem. Not taking nothing away from Carter, though, because I think we got a dog in him. But Edey, bro, I think he's going to be something, though.
Nah, look, he had a really good first game. I don't know if they played yesterday. If they did, I missed the game. I don't know. Yeah, they did play. They played the Sixers. I don't know how he did yesterday. But I know in that first game against, you know, an established NBA guy like Walker Kessler, you know, 14-14 for the young fella. That's good stuff. I wish him all the well. I hope he is, you know, a good NBA player. I didn't believe in him for the Kings. And that was more so what it was. If I was Memphis and we lost Steven Adams and we didn't really have a center, sure. But I was not taking Zach Edey at 13 when he's going to play 12 minutes a game. Sabonis is there. I would much rather trade that pick or get a guy like Devin Carter who would be in the rotation more, I think, than Zach Edey. But if he's able to cook, I'm all for that, man. I want nothing but success for Zach Edey. Now, I don't want him and the Memphis Grizzlies to have success where they end up being better than the Kings. That's what I don't want, and I don't think that'll end up happening. But much love for him. One of the things that we had talked about earlier in the day, and I kind of wanted to touch bases on again, was we talked about teams that had good off seasons thus far. You know, as we're kind of winding down the off season, there may be some trades to be made, maybe some free agents to be signed, but for the most part, it's starting to wind down, and you can start to get a feel for what some of these teams have been able to do in the off season. And when we talk about the Western Conference specifically, teams that have had a solid off season, you look at really OKC, you look at the Mavericks, and you look at the Kings. And I think really that's the top tier when it comes to good off seasons in the Western Conference. I don't know. I'm thinking off the top of my head. I don't feel like Minnesota didn't have a bad off season, but I wouldn't classify them as a good off season. You get Rob Dillingham. We'll see how that works out. Phoenix added somebody. Oh man, they added somebody, and I was like,
they re-signed Royce O'Neal. I know that.
They
re-signed Royce O'Neal. That was the most notable thing I think I saw.
And they signed some. It was just kind of it wasn't a game changer, but you know, maybe it helps with the depth. And then you start to get into the category in the range of people and teams who had a disappointing or bad offseason. And you look at teams like the Lakers right now. Would you classify their offseason as being bad merely because they weren't able to add to that roster?
Yeah, it's bad. You didn't take any steps forward, and like, maybe JJ can coach, but the whole optics of that thing is kind of embarrassing. Like the way it's just kind of like him being LeBron's podcast partner, like I get JJ's playing the league and all that, and like he's not the first guy to go from broadcast booth to coaching and all that, but just the whole optics of it all, like I don't hate the Bronny thing, but just you didn't do anything else. You didn't like try to cover up the distraction points, I guess. Like you didn't do anything.
Yeah. Ramsey says Mason Plumlee. Maybe that's who I was thinking about. Mason Plumlee going to Phoenix. I mean, that's
almost save the Kings one.
Butts in the seats right there. That's not going to get the job done. But sure, good enough for them. But yeah, I mean, the Lakers, it's whatever. Now they still got potentially, you know, maybe Zach LaVine out there. And once again, I think people are jumping out the window with their Zach LaVine disrespect now. Like it, people
not jumping in for sure. I'll tell you that.
People acting like he is certified bum. He ain't no bum out there. That you get Zach LaVine, you're a better team than maybe you were the year before. If you're like the Lakers, I thought even with the Kings, if you got Zach LaVine, you've upgraded from a Kevin Herter or something like that, or even a Harrison Barnes. You've upgraded in talent in that respect. So that's still out there potentially for the Lakers.
The Lakers
got too many moves.
That's one thing. One team I'm really focused on that's like really missed it with this offseason is the Rockets.
How so? Well, they didn't lose anybody.
That's the thing, though. You didn't add to anything either, though. Because Woj, I think it was a few weeks ago or whatever, Woj said, oh, yeah, they're putting all these picks together. They're going to go for a big fish, whatever, and Trevor Katie and all that stuff. Like, you obviously were aiming for something, and nothing happened at all.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good – and that's a team that you look at, and you would probably want them to take a step this offseason. And – they essentially kind of just ran it back a little bit. And I think they're going to be faced with some decisions to make. They're going to have to move off of one of those young guys, whether it's Sengun, Jabari, or Jalen Green. I don't know if you could wait around, you know, for them to develop to a certain where they could be a big three or something like that. But if it seems like Ime and those guys, they might want to contend a little earlier. And if that's what you want to do, one of your moves is to move off of one of those young guys and bring in an established guy like a DeRozan or something like that. I think that's what you got to do for them. So this is probably a season missed when you talk about getting into that playoff conversation with those guys.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, like I said, just for the simple fact, like it was out there. Like they were trying to go for something big. They were trying to make a big splash and you just kind of came up short, I think.
Mm. And then what you think about the Warriors, man? I don't think... I think I was gone. I was definitely gone. Signed Buddy Hield.
Yeah, they did.
I said it. I was talking to Vontae Hill about this, and he was kind of asking what I thought about Buddy. Buddy in the right situation might be a solid player, right? If you got him in Sacramento where it's all bad, and he feels like, yo, if we're gonna win, I need to step my game up. I need to have that Mamba mentality. Hey, guys, get on my back. I'm going to take us to the promised land. That's the worst case scenario for Buddy Hield.
What about Philly, though? Philly wasn't this dysfunctional organization where they needed this, this, and that, and he didn't fit there. Didn't fit in Indiana.
I thought he did all right in Indiana.
He's not there, though.
The truth, they did end up trading. They ended it. They did.
I mean, Daryl Moore literally came out in a press conference once and was like, yeah, this did not go the way I thought. We'll just move on.
Well, he's not the best talent evaluator, I don't think, either, or team builder for that matter. But I think in the right situation in the Warriors and Steph Curry and Steve Kerr and all that might be the right situation. He might not be bad.
Over under 1.5, Steph throws his mouthpiece because of Buddy.
I'm going over.
All right, yeah, see?
I'm going over. But I think in a situation where Buddy has a defined role, a minimized role, and can lock in, I think you might be all
right,
man.
That's Clay right there.
Huh?
That's Clay 2.0 right there.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
The Warriors, I don't like what the Warriors did as far as, like, if this is the last few years of Steph's career, like, you should have went all out, I think. And maybe you didn't put yourselves in position to do that, but that's also on your front office.
They didn't want to get rid of Kuminga. That's really kind of what it come down to, and I don't know. For the right piece, for the right player, and maybe Lauri Markkanen is that guy, maybe I move. Like Kuminga, I like Kuminga's talent. I just don't know, like, if he's going to be, like, an all-star type player. I think he's talented, but I think he's just kind of, I don't know.
You think he'd be a 20-point-per-game scorer, like, just consistently?
Maybe.
After developing and all that. We'll say he's still developing right now.
Maybe.
I think he can.
I think he can, but it kind of feels like they'd be like how I felt in the playing game. If Kuminga's scoring, fine. That means Steph isn't, so fine. Let Kuminga get points. I was never afraid of the impact of Kuminga having a big game.
Well, just offensive. The two timelines thing doesn't work. Like, that's what it comes down to, probably.
Yeah.
Like, Kuminga's a good player, and he's going to become a very good NBA player, but it's just on Steph's timeline, it just doesn't work right now.
Yeah.
But I don't even know what the Warriors' plan is, if they're trying to win or just build or what.
I'm not sure they know, to be honest with you. Not sure they know. But, you know, they maybe Kuminga as like a second guy or a third guy and him putting up those numbers, maybe it doesn't have the same impact if you gave him the keys and put everything in his hands. Maybe it'd have more of an impact or be more scary to me or something like that. I don't know. I want to talk about this more tomorrow, just kind of looking at the Western Conference as is, who may fall back, who made improvements, because I feel like the Kings are right up there as one of the teams that made a major improvement and could be looking at a major jump in the standings this upcoming season, man. So I want to thank Sarah Hodges. Want to thank my main man, Antonio Harvey. And we'll be back again tomorrow with more KC and Friends, a.k.a. D-Lo and KC, on Sacramento's sports leader, ESPN 1320. Vamos, gigantes!
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.